A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cody Rhodes has one hell of a story. That's why I'm sat down today, my friends, because I think we need to go through it with the depth and the intensity that it does need. And look, if you stare at WWE at the moment, what is the whole company propped up on? Essentially, Cody Rhodes' story. The thing is, though, this isn't just propaganda to sell a pay-per-view premium live event and actually ties into Cody Rhodes' proper journey from undesirable to undeniable. When you do get into it, well, it's pretty darn impressive. So as it has been built into wrestling lore today, I thought we should investigate it, especially because the middle of the darn journey is when he made the bang and he returned to WWE. Now, it really did feel like Cody underlining his mega plans at this point, but when he did return to the company at WrestleMania 38 to take on Seth Rollins, your brain couldn't actually process what was happening, especially because he came out as the AEW version of the American Nightmare. You're just like, what the hell is happening? So all of this just felt impossible. There's also a very specific moment in that match where it looks like Cody's going to hit the final crossroads and get the 1-2-3, but before he does do that, he actually hits Dusty's flip-flop and five strike combo instead. That's when I think a lot of us went, this isn't the same guy that we saw before. The Raw following this event too is when he came to the ring with a mic in his hand and he laid it all on the line, because he was indeed going to talk about that time his father, Dusty Rhodes, was almost the WWF champion. This was way back when, in September 26, 1977, in Madison Square Garden, and of course, this led into Cody telling the story about him asking his father, "Dad, I've seen this picture," which we were seeing on the screen. "You're holding the championship, but you're not a champion," which is when poor Dusty had to say, "Well, let me tell you how wrestling works. There's a little thing called champion's advantage. I didn't win in the right way, and therefore, while I held the title, wasn't actually mine." It was in this moment when he was barely 8 years old when Cody was like, "Damn it, father, I shall grow up and avenge this for you." And yes, this is when the more semantic wrestling fan puts their hand up and goes, "Well, if that was the case, why did he go to AEW?" He thinks that's taking it a little bit too literally, and anyway, all plot holes were soon ignored by everybody because Cody got such a thunderous reaction on this episode of Raw. And once again, it was like, man, I think we got something here. The greatest part of all of this is that when he had left years prior, nobody thought this was the case at all. I mean, that's one of the reasons why he did leave WWE, because he was placed in a position where, while deep down in his tootsie toes, he wanted to be the tippity-top guy, but it was never going to happen. He'd hit his glass ceiling, and essentially, he'd been pigeonholed. It also probably means that the audience were in love with this man now, because he had gone out there, and he had shown all the work ethic, and he had shown all the passion, to the point now they could only see him as a main event. Inventor. I'm sorry, but that's one of the damnedest coolest things ever. He'd also achieved the first step of his dream when he went on to beat Seth Rollins twice more. I'm sorry, WWE doesn't just do that to anybody. It was sending a message. This was doubly true, of course, because we then got to the Hell in a Cell incident. And every time we recount this, I can't even believe it flubbing happened. I mean, Cody went out there with a torn pec. And did you hear the reaction? If not, go and watch it now. When he removes his robe, because his damn pectoral looks like some kind of butcher meat, everybody in that arena goes, "Oh my gosh," because it was disgusting. So while the decision to allow him to compete was absolutely wild, it also put something else in your brain as we do construct this puzzle, where you were like, wow, not only is he a nice guy, not only is he a hard-working guy, but he's now a tough son of a ditch. What can't he do? I mean, if there was even a shred of doubt that he didn't have that in him, he proved them all wrong, because once again, his chest looked like it expired. I mean, can you even imagine the pain? And the answer is no, but once again, that was the point. There was no way that you were ever going to be able to empathize with this, so the sympathy just doubled and doubled and doubled. It also meant he was just going to wrestle until the wheels came off when he did make his triumphant return for the 2023 Royal Rumble. He threw Gunther out of there, and he was like, man, we've done it again, like Britney Spears. It's time to main event WrestleMania. And of course, when we got to that fateful night, he did lose. But I said at the time, and I'll say it again now, as long as he does or has won it at WrestleMania 40, then actually this was a very good storytelling device, because even though there was more naysayers going, oh, that's it, Rose is totally boned, that's not what happened at all. And in fact, as the weeks and days and months went by, people just fell in love with him even more, and that was yet more magic for the damn stool. He just knew how to connect with people, and once he connected with that first person, he was never going to stop. And look, I do understand that the finish is still a sore spot for many people, but actually just go and watch the match again and observe the meat and bones. That is a flabbing good pro wrestling contest. We also started to showcase a different side to WWE as a whole, because many times in the past, when somebody didn't win the big one, they would have been dragged. But as we've already touched upon, that didn't happen with Cody. And in fact, everybody behind him just doubled down on the thing, and they were going to will him to where they wanted to be. Hence why when we get to WrestleMania 40, even with the arrival of Dwayne Johnson, well, we're still doing it. We also made sure we kept selling this idea post-WrestleMania 39, because even though we invented the World Heavyweight Championship, Cody was like, well, that's a fine prize, and one day I'd love to win it, but not until I get my hands on what Roman Reigns is currently carrying around, because once again, what is that? That's his story. So this narrative itself went deeper than just being a champion. He had to be that champion, and once again, we arrived back here for the second time. That is not what the WWE of old would have done. In fact, they would have just sat there and thought, well, we need something for next week. We can't get to WrestleMania 40 until April 2024. Just make Cody the other champion and we'll deal with it after the fact. And while that still would have been great, it also would have lessened what he would have done eventually against Roman Reigns. That's not what we're trying to get at here, man. We're trying to create a moment. There's also another level which highlighted what else Cody was trying to do here. And in fact, he dropped a bunch of names on SmackDown recently. Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Bruno Sammartino. He didn't just want to be one of the guys. He wanted to become the guy or the face of the company. That's why he went and created this culture where people actually started to believe in every single thing that he said. And don't act like he did this with all of WWE's permission. I'm sure he's savvy to how things can go. Just go and watch any single post-pay-per-view premium live event press conference. Some of the things that come out of his mouth, he was both going against the company and doing a wink-wink nudge-nudge to his ever-growing fan base. It really doesn't seem like anybody was going to waver though, because soon he was in a program with Brock Lesnar and he came out the other side of that smelling like flowers. When we put him with a tag team with Jey Uso, we allowed them to win the tag team titles, and the whole MO of this thing was, why don't you go out there and just have a bunch of fun? And sure, their wars with the Judgment Day did get a bit Groundhog Day after a while, but we have said this time and time again, when somebody is having a good time on the screen and it's genuine, that kind of emotion comes out and it smacks you right in the face, and all of a sudden, deep down your tum-tum, you start to warm to these individuals, because that's just how human beings work. What else it did, though, is that it humanized the man. We all know how important that is. It also justified all the faith that the company did have in him as a performer, because every single number and every single metric started going up. Attendance figures, ratings, merchandise sales. And even if you had a seed of doubt deep down in your ass that this wasn't the next guy, well, everything was telling you otherwise, so you might as well pull the trigger and go with it. Even when posed with the biggest test to all of this, which we have already mentioned once, but we'll mention it twice, he still found a way through. And of course, I'm talking about The Rock. Now, I did raise a lot of eyebrows, somewhat ironic. Ironically, The Rock did come back and decide, I think I want to fight you now, Roman Reigns, especially because this was coming off the back of Cody Rhodes winning two Royal Rumbles, and he pointed at the Tribal Chief. This was the guy. You could tell this was a last minute shift too, because once again, I tell you to go and listen to all the interviews Cody Rhodes was doing prior to this. He was so damn confident that this was going to be the main event of WrestleMania 40. I don't think he would be doing that unless he had known. Word coming out the other end soon was that the idea behind this now was to turn Cody into a Daniel Bryan type babyface. And look, there's actually nothing wrong with that, apart from one asterisk. By this point, Cody Rhodes was well ahead of where Daniel Bryan was at the same time. Like we've already talked about, he was knocking on the door of being the damn number one priority face of the company, dude. So I suppose in that sense, WWE did their job a little too well, because the weekend following this, Twitter and social media was awash with one single hashtag, we want Cody. And it got so out of hand that even The Rock went into work one day and said, look, we're not going to be able to fight this. We just have to go with it. Which actually resulted in another great 2024 decision. Dwayne Johnson went back to being a heel, and everything he's done since has been totally fabu. Now, whether this was down to the fact that he did have an all-time run back in 2002 and 2003 as this character, and we were just doing it again, or if that persona just benefits being an asshole, it did mean we got to WrestleMania Night 1 when we had the biggest tag team match of all time, The Rock and Roman Reigns taking on Cody and Seth Rollins. And all of this does deserve praise because it did the one thing that any wrestling promotion wants to do, which is generate interest in the product. But what was the big conversation? Even when all the smoke cleared, Cody has to win. And listen, let's be honest here. Nobody was saying that when Cody first arrived in OVW back in 2007. Because while you may be used to the NXT Performance Center and how we do recruit new members and ensure they're ready for the main roster, Ohio Valley Wrestling was just like one of the weirdest proving grounds ever. He was on the main roster quite soon after this, mostly because of his last name, something Cody has talked about. And let's just go back to a promo that happened recently on Raw. Do you remember when he was facing off with Drew McIntyre and they talked about being former tag team champions? A lot of people were like, what, former tag team champions? I don't remember that at all. And of course you don't, because it was during a time when the tag team titles meant nothing. And this is the kind of environment Cody Rhodes found himself in.
Are you sure about that?
From there, he would grow a moustache, be told over and over and over again that he was going to win Money in the Bank, even though he never did, become the Intercontinental Champion. And the whole time, he was just trying to chip away at this company to tell them, listen, if you want me to be your next John Cena, I'm ready to take the ball. As we already know, they didn't think the same way. And there was so much to this as well, because he started wearing his gear that was just a little more reminiscent of someone like Nick Bockwinkel to get that across. And of course, when he became the IC champion, he said, hey, we should go back to the legendary Reggie Parks design. So that's what we did. So he could kind of tell that wrestling was not what it could or should be, and that maybe he should be the individual to go and sort all of this out. Which oddly ties into Gunther. Because back in 2010, within the WWE confines, it was just a totally different world. And if you want to say they weren't overly worried about the in-ring portion of proceedings, well, you'd certainly have an argument. This all changed when the likes of CM Punk and Daniel Bryan walked through the door, and why Triple H went out of his way to turn NXT into a bona fide WWE indie. And by the mid-2000s, the in-ring action had become so important, even John Cena was doing springboards. The wider industry also saw this benefit too, as New Japan Pro Wrestling became the number two company in the world. And to tie it back into the Ring General, that's why he has held the Intercontinental title for so long, because we don't want to go back to the days when mid-card belts mean nothing. No, we're going to put as much importance on this as possible, and by doing so, we're going to make superstars in the process. You do jump back 14 years, though. This was not happening, and this is what Cody was trying to do. He had like a megaphone going, hey, man, look how good I am in the squared circle. Whereas people just wanted to hear somebody else cut a promo. It's not like Cody didn't understand this, because he tried every conceivable thing possible, but by the time he'd be given Stardust, which he also put 100% into, 2016 rolled around, he's like, listen, it's not going to happen here. I gotta leave. And let's not forget that the company did this without even worrying about it too, because we were operating in a different time. I mean, what was Cody gonna do? Do some indie performances and go to TNA? The powers that be didn't care.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
This also could come down to the fact that at the time, WWE didn't really know what they wanted the company to be. Now, of course, we were pushing Roman Reigns, but he would still be considered younger talent, and we had The Shield fighting over the WWE Championship. But on the flip side to that, you had Dean Ambrose being dressed up like the Mountie. You had Stephanie McMahon verbally running down Charlotte Flair and Mick Foley. and you had Kevin Owens being absolutely wrecked for the Universal title thanks to Goldberg. And there was never any payoffs here either, in the sense that Owens never even got a hint at revenge, whereas Stephanie, well, she never got any comeuppance from anyone. I mean, we didn't even go to the point where we had a WrestleMania match where one side was being managed by Mick Foley and the other was being managed by Stephanie McMahon. She would just shout at the former Mankind every single week. That was meant to be an ongoing story. 2017 also saw Jinder Mahal become the WWE champion, which had the potential to be perfectly fine when you found out the only reason we were doing this was it because it was a marketing ploy and WWE wanted to expand in India. I mean, that ain't the best player to do any kind of booking. It's even worse because he was losing on house shows to Big Show before this. And before you go, well, Simon, it was the Big Show. Well, no, it wasn't, because Jinder was teaming up with Titus O'Neil, and those two, well, they still suffered the loss. So it essentially meant that one day Vince McMahon woke up and decided, yes, that's what I should do in order to grow my business, which kind of tied into Cody Rhodes' point. He could keep trying and he could keep working and he could keep hustling, but unless one day Vince had a dream about him, well, it's probably never going to happen. The real mystery is that WWE weren't blind to this either, because a certain match in 2013 had opened people's eyes, but once again, we never capitalized on it. And this was when he and Brother Goldust were teaming up to take on The Shield, and we had massive stakes here. If you don't win, you're going to be fired from the WWE, but if you do get the victory, you can have your jobs back. So when Cody hit the crossroads to get the win, fans totally lost it, because once again, they had invested. And just when it looked like we were going to use this as a platform, well, we just went back to what we had been doing. It was almost like this match never happened. Instead, it was Stephanie McMahon who was backstage one day and looked at him and said, "Why don't you start dressing up like your brother?" Which is when Stardust was born. But you really can't fault Cody for this, because he really did throw himself into the character. This actually unveiled a brand new side to his personality that maybe we hadn't seen before, but we would see a lot later. He's a flipping team player. Once again, though, he just presumed that if I do an amazing job with this, that big push will be coming my way. So you want me to be Stardust? I'll be the best band Stardust ever. Of course, a feud with Dustin started soon after this, and in February 2015 at the Fastlane pay-per-view, well, they didn't have the best old match. But there was something else to this, because on Raw the next night, during the Fallout show, future wife Brandi Rhodes interviewed Stardust. He had some interesting things to say. Because Cody started to talk about the fact that he was hungry, but he wasn't able to get any food, because stars from the Attitude Era were getting in the way. Maybe, just maybe, they were holding the current generation down. He wasn't wrong either, because once again, WWE was having a personality problem at this time, because they absolutely loved going back to the mid-90s. It's why that whole Triple H versus Undertaker WrestleMania program was built on the premise that I'm gonna look at you, and you're gonna look at me. And by proxy, that almost stated, we don't need to talk about anyone in the back, because who would want to fight them? You only have to watch Rhodes' early AEW promos to show that he did have a major gripe with this. And if you can believe it, all of this probably could have been averted if WWE hadn't gone and lied. Because during that year's WrestleMania, he was told in no uncertain terms, we're going to be done with the Stardust character and we are going to relaunch you as Cody Rhodes, to the point Cody went and got new theme music done and he bought new gear. He also started to tease this on social media, and you can still see some of those tweets and posts right now, when one day, once again, Vince McMahon did wake up and he totally changed his mind. There's no reason, no context, no nothing. Cody, understandably, was really annoyed about this and once again took to the internet to kind of slag off some of the writers. And while he did delete those tweets, well, yes, you can still find them today. There was a certain irony to this as well, because these people had been writing these words and it never really came up with anything that connected with the crowd. And yet when Cody unofficially debuted for the WWE, when he inducted his dad into the Hall of Fame in 2007, that's one of the best promos he's ever cut. From this point, though, he was out on his own again, and once again showing tremendous wrestling savvy, because even though he would make appearances for TNA, he never actually signed with them. And as we would soon learn out after this, he basically used the CM Punk pipe bomb promo and carved an entire career path for himself. Soon he was the reinvented traveling babyface, just being nice to every single person at every single promotion he did go to. And surprise, surprise, that worked, and the major reason for this was because it was genuine. He also didn't try to win world titles because he was very self-aware in the sense he didn't want to come across like the self-entitled star, but he did his work in PWG, he did his work in Ring of Honor, and of course he did his work in WCPW. I still remember it. Now, some would say it was a little bit different when he went to New Japan, because of course he was part of a group of interlopers trying to ruin the promotion. But this is when he tapped into a different side of his personality, the, yes, I know I'm a jock jackass, but I'm just gonna walk around and be a massive jock jackass. He put all of that character into the Being the Elite series too, when he really started to mess with hardcore wrestling fans, who absolutely love the Bullet Club, because he just rocked up one day and thought, you know what? We should change the t-shirts and we should change the logo. This was also during the time when he was trying to start a damn infighting war when it came to the Bullet Club, when he revealed all of this, and it was essentially the same design but now it had blonde hair and people were so damn frustrated, he knew what he was doing. It also meant that he had to start jumping from baby face to heel, but he proved once again he was able to do that too, especially when he understood the situation. But he was on the pulse enough to cook the Disco Inferno on Twitter, much to the grins of many a people, but on the other side, he was tapping into what fans were terrified about it the most and going, maybe I'll do it. At this point, Cody had made such a noise, he had garnered the attention of Tony Khan, as had Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and of course Chris Jericho, who was a free agent at the time. And let's not be silly here, they were all massively important to the creation of AEW. Without them all bringing their unique things to the table, maybe none of this happened. It was Cody Rhodes, however, that saw a tweet from Dave Meltzer saying, man, I don't know if an indie company can sell 10,000 seats to an arena. And he was so obsessed that he was able to do this. He was like, all right, I'll take that bet. That's when we moved to All In 2018. I mean, the Young Bucks themselves in their autobiography even have a whole passage when they talk about the fact, yeah, we were into the idea, but it was Cody that wanted to run wild with it. And when they filled that building in Chicago, forget about it. We had planted that seed. If anybody was going to make sure it grew into a flower, it was the American Nightmare. Even when you do go back to that pay-per-view itself, you could argue that it is Cody's match that stands out the most, because not only was he focusing on a championship in the NWA title, but he was also invoking emotion when it came to his family. And when he beat Nick Aldis with the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll-up, people reacted, not because they'd seen a guy win and a guy lose, it's because they'd bought into the whole thing. I mean, seriously, like Kenny Omega versus Penta is still amazing, but we have seen so many of those matches now in 2024, it's just called the law of diminishing returns. But because Cody was focusing on storytelling and family, well, some ideals just live forever. If anybody from WWE was watching, surely by this point they were like, oh man, we've made a massive mistake, which was also true away from the wrestling ring. Once again during that weekend when StarCast was on, he was regaling fans with tales and stories and making them laugh until tears came out of the eyes, and all of a sudden, he was just getting more people to fall in love with him. When you fall in love with someone, it's hard to hate. All of this transferred to Double or Nothing 2019, where we did have that five-star classic between Cody Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes. And all I'm going to say to you is this. If you haven't seen it, you should probably change that right now. I mean, it really is a timeless classic, and these two stole the show, and it allowed Cody to tick another box, or at least what he was trying to do. He was going to leave the wrestling business better than he found it. His following feud with Shawn Spears kept the momentum up, and when AEW Dynamite was born into this world, what was the program that we were kind of using as the concrete and the foundation? It was for the AEW World Championship. It was Chris Jericho versus Cody Rhodes. This is where All Elite Wrestling really did feel like a different product too, because everything we did here just set the world on fire. I mean, the angles were hot, the brawls felt intense. When we tried to land humor, it actually worked. The training video of Rhodes getting ready for Full Gear 2019 is the most sports-based thing you've ever seen. It was great. There is some irony here in the fact that over on the other show, Kofi Kingston was being squashed by Brock Lesnar, but that's another video for a different time. And when all of this was done, where did Cody go next? MJF. The plan here was to establish Maxwell Jacob Friedman as one of the guys of the company, and it came off the back that Cody had lost his stipulation. Now he's never going to be able to fight for the AEW World title. Ruh-roh. He was still balls to the walls in ensuring that we were going to make new stars, though, when the universe came to a halt and the damn pandemic arrived. It almost wrecked everything, but Cody continued to find ways to make sure he put people on a pedestal, because in came the likes of Eddie Kingston and Ricky Starks, and by the time they were done with their Cody Rhodes interactions, they had contracts with AEW. So he was just trying to get everybody over, to the point if somebody walked up to him and said, oh, hi, can you get Darby Allin over? He was like, sure, how much time do I have? And he went and did it. Now, no run like this can last forever, and when Malakai Black debuted with the company, it's where it started to fall off a cliff to a certain section of the fan base, because of course they started to dub everything that Cody did the Codyverse. Now, there'll be a video on the screen. We've talked about this on that instead, but it really did become a thing, and people are still chatting about it right now. This sort of started all the craziness too, until we did get the shock news that he was returning to WWE, and to this day, as of me talking to you, the only reason we have for it was a personal issue that wasn't able to be resolved. Many speculated this could be down to the debuts of CM Punk and Bryan Danielson, who I guess would have an influence on where the company was heading. Maybe that's what Cody wanted more than anything. He felt like he did have his fingers in all the pies, and now it's slipping away from him. But I can understand that too, because you can see Cody's influence all over the show. I mean, go and compare WWE Sting to AEW Sting. It's night and flipping day. Before we do move on from this too, we have to remember, it is still mad that AEW exists to begin with. Because if you go back 20 years when WCW closed its doors, nobody thought this was ever going to be possible again. The door just seemed like it was completely shut, although there is a version of this story, there's that word again, where Cody Rhodes believed to such a degree, he just decided he was going to make it happen, he bet on himself. The answers speak for themselves. And I'm not saying this to undermine the team effort. For example, if John Moxley doesn't turn up, who the hell knows where AEW does end up? But without Cody going, guys, we can do it, Well, we'll never know.
Because after the fact, they had put 10,000 people in the building. It was the American nightmare that was also like, well, maybe we could do a weekly TV show. And look where we are now in 2024. Now, of course, it helps because once again, across the pond, Roman Reigns was being dumped in dog food, which was the main angle. Mojo Rawley was screaming into a mirror. And Lars Sullivan. That's it too. We don't need other words. Just Lars Sullivan. Now, of course, before Cody did return, WWE had already turned this tide. They were becoming hotter than ever. But if you want to brand this new era with something, it was that day he came back at WrestleMania 38 because it just got so many people going. Well, I didn't think this was going to happen. So what else is possible? I mean, don't forget, this was the AEW version of his character and nobody was expecting that. He had the theme music and everything. These days, he is on top of the whole place. So, of course, if you want to walk in here right now and say, my gosh, he got to the tippity top of two different promotions. Yeah, he did. He achieved it all. And that really is part of the story and why fans want him to see the big one. Everybody can witness how much effort he's put in. So now we want him to get the rewards. It means even if he wasn't able to close this specific chapter of the book, and he definitely is going to be able to, he has still already told such a wonderful story and one that we can be all inspired by too. If you do believe in yourself and you do take the risk and you do put yourself into uncomfortable situations, well, the world really is your oyster. I mean, you can't walk around saying to people, I went from undesirable to undeniable, unless you truly have the evidence to back it up. And given by the time you see this, he probably is going to be the WWE Universal Super Duper Champion. Well, bravo to that guy. He changed an entire industry's perspective of him, and that ain't no small feat. That's why, for my money, Cody Rhodes at some point is going to go down as a bona fide Hall of Famer. Now, of course, that was a lot of waffling by me, so please do make sure you get in the comments below and let me know your thoughts about all of this. What do you think about Cody, WrestleMania 40, and what his future holds? Let's not forget, when he does win the World Championship, we have to go into phase two of this project. And if Marvel has told us anything, sometimes phase two goes bad. Also, please do click the video on the screen, which is me talking about the Codyverse, which, of course, people do still want to chat about. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. But otherwise, thank you for joining me today, my friends, for this somewhat essay of a video. If you liked it, we can do more. If you don't, we won't. It's that simple. Take care. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.